today's topic is, drum roll, so you want to buy an apartment complex. So you want to buy an apartment complex, and one more for emphasis. So you want to buy an apartment complex.
Support for this program comes from the Digital Broadcasting Network, presenting podcasts and web series from everyday people who have an extraordinary passion to make the world a better place. To view this podcast, visit channel713.com, or you can subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, or whichever podcasting service you use. Welcome to the next generation of broadcasting.
Hello, everybody. This is Kevin Riles. I want to thank you for listening in to another episode of The Real Estate of Life with Kevin Riles. I'm excited to be with you one more time. This has been just so exciting as it pertains to the response that I've been able to get on this podcast. I've gotten emails, I've gotten texts, I've gotten calls, I've gotten questions, I've gotten a lot of feedback on Facebook Live, and I am just appreciative of the fact that you guys are tuning in and listening. Made me feel like I'm something like a big deal. I'm just gonna say it made me feel like I'm something like a big deal, Mr. Producer. I can't, you know, sometimes I know pride becomes before the fall, and I have a little bit of pride, not enough pride to come before the fall, but I'm just excited to do this every week. I appreciate channel713.com and the Digital Broadcasting Network for hosting and doing all the hard work. I get to come and talk for about 30 minutes, and then Mr. Producer, whose name one day maybe that'll be like the final episode of my podcast of life, I'll finally reveal who Mr. Producer is. So we're just going to keep it separate, because I know y'all hear me say his name in the first five, six episodes. So good news is I just came back from my family reunion in South Carolina, and during that time I was able to put down a list of things that I want to talk about, and so I'm actually looking at that list right now, and we have some really good episodes planned for you guys. And I know some of you are like, well, you said Kevin Riles and friends. Well, where are the friends? You've just been talking for the last 6-7 weeks. What's going on? Well, they're coming. I promise you that they are coming. I will have a guest over the next couple of weeks talking about mortgages and title and some motivational topics and some good entrepreneurs who have some really good stories to tell. So I'm excited to bring you all of these things. And again, I want to thank all of those that are joining me on Facebook Live. I know my head is halfway cut off, but I forgot my iPad today, so I'm doing this from my phone. But if you have questions on Facebook Live on today's topic, which I will tell you in a second, please feel free to type them out, and I will try to answer them while I am taping. And so today's topic is, drum roll, so you want to buy an apartment complex. So you want to buy an apartment complex, and one more for emphasis. So you want to buy an apartment complex, one for the Father, one for the Son, one for the Holy Ghost, for the Christians out there. I get this a lot because I specialize. One of the commercial specialties that I have, my main specialty actually, is apartment complexes. And I get the question all the time, well, hey, you know what? I bought a single family house. I want to buy an apartment complex, or I want to buy an apartment complex, and I haven't bought a single family house. And so what are some of the things that you need to be aware of when you are purchasing an apartment complex? And so what I've done is I've written down a couple of questions or things that kind of come up on a consistent basis, and we're for the next couple of minutes going to go over that. And so I'm excited to kind of bring this to you. This is just a primer. Probably on each one of these questions or points that I'll bring up, we could probably do a separate episode. And so I'm excited to kind of talk about a couple of things, these things. So you want to buy an apartment complex. So let's first define what an apartment complex is. All right. So a lot of times I'll have residential buyers come to me and say, hey, I think I want to buy an apartment complex. And they define an apartment complex as a 2-unit or 3-unit property. And that actually is not an apartment complex. All right. So multifamily wise, Fannie Mae, and I'll go over this in a second, considers the secondary mortgage market considers multifamily to be 5 units or above. right? So 5 units or above. And so you have a situation now where a lot of people say, well, I want to buy an apartment complex, and they'll think it's a duplex or a triplex or a fourplex. Those are still considered residential units, right? Those, now some of the things I'll talk about as far as considerations still apply to that, but those are considered residential units. Why are they considered residential units? Essentially, it's a mortgage question. And the reason is that Fannie Mae, who is the largest buyer of secondary mortgages in the United States, basically defines a residential property as 1 to 4 units. And 1 to 4 units basically have different fundamentals as it pertains to return and things of that nature that you want to consider as it pertains to an apartment complex. Now, what I will tell you just in practice is that I would probably define a true apartment complex probably to 8 units or more, just in practice, not from a mortgage standpoint, but just in practice. And so at the end of the day, what you want to consider is, are you buying a multifamily property, which is really 1 to 4 units, or are you buying an apartment complex, right? And so I specialize, my business, Kevin Rouse Commercial, specializes in small apartment complexes. What is small? Anywhere from 5 units to about 100 units are considered small in the Houston market or in the Texas market, really. Anything under 100 units. Now, I've transacted on 100 up to 170 unit apartment complexes, but at the end of the day, small is considered anywhere from 5 to 100 units. So an apartment complex is not 2, 3, 4 units, but some of the things that you want to consider still would apply to those units. So, for today's example, let's assume that we're talking about 20 units or 25 units somewhere in there. And so there are certain things that you want to consider when you're looking at an apartment complex potential purchase. One, you want to consider one, location. Remember, the first rule of investing or real estate really is location, 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 right? Location, location, location. So where is the apartment complex? Where is this potential property? And when I say location, I also mean what type of tenant demographic will you attract at that particular apartment complex? Is it an apartment complex that needs works and you can bring it up from a what we call a C level, which basically determines the age of the property or is based on the age of the property, to a B level? Is it close to, for instance, if it's in a working class community, is it close to a bus stop? Is it close to schools? What is the selling point that allows for you to be able to hopefully turn that investment into something or continue it as a good investment? So location, location, location. All right. So I have an apartment complex right now listed for sale in Galveston. It's 13 units. It's right on the seawall on 8th Street in Galveston, 1102 8th Street. It hasn't been sold. So, by the way, you can go to KevinRouseCommercial.com and check out that listing. I need to get it sold. So, please do so. That's 13 units, and it's being listed right now for sale for $850,000. I also have a 5-unit apartment complex listed in the Montrose area, Montrose Midtown area, for $750,000. You would say, well, man, that's 5 units and 13 units, and they're almost the same price. Well, Montrose River Oaks area is a different area here in the Houston market. If those of you are familiar with the Houston market, the Seawall is a different market. That's a different class property. So both of them are great locations. I also have a couple of properties in work in Galveston and in South Houston as far as potential listings are concerned as well. And I have a transaction going on just north of 610 in North Main, a 13-unit apartment complex as well. And so location, location, location depends. Some of my clients like what we call C or D properties, properties that, what we call value add properties. That's the specific word. So if you're taking notes, take this down. Value add is kind of the properties that have a potential for value being added to them. That's where the word comes from, so that you can gain a better return on your dollar. So, for instance, if you buy an apartment complex and each unit needs about $5,000 worth of work, but then after you do that work, you can increase rents by $100 or $200, that's considered a value add opportunity. And everyone wants, that's the number one call that I get is, value add, value add, value add. If I had 100 value add apartment complexes, I would be doing this podcast right now from Tahiti, remote, Mr. Producer, from Skype, because I would be sipping a Mai Tai, because I would have sold all 100 of those value add opportunities. And so it becomes a little different when they're a value add. Now, some people are not value add investors. In other words, they're not the type of investor that's going to buy something, renovate it, and then either sell it again or rent it up. Some people say, hey, Kevin, I just want to do a little bit safe. I want something that's already operating. I want to get a good value, a decent return, and I want to play in all the other areas of real estate investment. For instance, the return, the depreciation of the property, and things of that nature. This is more of a tax purchase for me. And those exist. In fact, those are right now what is dominant in the market is properties that are already operating that might have some value add in other areas where maybe you can manage it better and reduce your expenses and garner a little bit better income, or you can do some minor upgrades and garner a little bit better rent. So again, location, 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 the type of investment as far as value add is concerned is important. And then the other things that you want to consider, obviously, is the return. Right. And a lot of times the return is based off of the cap rate. Right. The cap rate. Right. So I'm going to take you to math class. So for those of you that don't like math, just hold your breath. Don't hold it too long. But hold your breath. Cap rate is called capitalization rate. That's what that stands for, capitalization rate. And capitalization rate is basically a calculation that allows for you to measure the return on a property and compare it to other properties, right? So how do you do that? The cap rate is calculated by dividing the net operating income. So let me help you with net operating income. The net operating income is revenues for the apartment complex minus expenses equals a net operating income. You hope, you pray, you want that net operating income to be a positive number, right? So let's use an example. If my revenue for an apartment complex is $100,000, right? And my expenses for that apartment complex are $50,000, then my NOI, my net operating income, is $50,000. All right. And so that $50,000 would then be divided by whatever sales price is the property's listed for. So, for instance, if the sales price of that particular property is $500,000, so $50,000 divided by $500,000 would be a 10% cap rate, a double digit cap rate. Now, here's the important thing about cap rate. The higher the cap rate, the better the return. That's awesome. All right. The higher the cap rate, the better the return. But there's also another thing at play. The higher the cap rate, typically the more riskier the investment, right? So yeah, I'm gonna get a better return, but typically, not always, sometimes you can find a really good deal with a very low, low risk investment, but typically the higher the cap rate, the riskier the return. And the opposite is true. The lower the cap rate, you would think that the risk is low. Right. So if I get a 10% cap rate, that's a pretty decent cap rate on C-class properties in the Houston market right now. A double digit cap rate is awesome. Right. Most C-class apartment complexes in the Houston area right now are probably returning between 7% and 8% in cap rate, which is a little frisky as far as cap rates are concerned. But the demand is so high that it's driving prices up, and therefore, in correlation to that, is driving the cap rates down. So how do you use cap rate? A cap rate is just a quick calculation that allow you, assuming no debt, how much return is this particular property returning to me? And if I have an apartment complex that's returning me a 10% cap rate versus a very similar apartment complex returning me an 8% cap rate, then I know that the 10% deal is at least starting off a better deal. So there's the starting cap rate. In other words, the cap rate that is advertised by a broker. So, for instance, on the Galveston apartment complex that I'm listing, I'm advertising a 9.5% cap rate, or almost 10% cap rate. I calculate that based on the financials that the owner gave me as far as expenses and things of that nature. However, what you will find sometimes is the owners are mismanaging the property, or they're paying their truck note through the property instead of on their own. And so you have to really be able to look at the financials, or get a broker to look at the financials to say, okay, is this the real cap rate? And then sometimes they're miscalculating in the wrong way. They're calculating a lower cap rate, which means that you think that the return is not as great, but then you realize that they expensed a lot of things. For instance, when you do large renovations on a property, if you replace all their air conditioning units, if you replace the roof, some people will put that in their profit and loss statement and make you think from the financials that that property is has that level of repairs every year. Well, those are called capital improvements, and so those really need to be removed from the profit and loss statement so that you can get calculate an actual cap rate. So at the end of the day, cap rate is a measure, is one of the measures, not the only measure, to look at a apartment complex from a financial standpoint. And looking at the finances of an apartment complex is pretty much the number one thing that you need to do. You have to look at the revenues. You have to look at the expenses. You have to look at if it's being managed correctly. You have to look at it if they have a property manager. Will you manage it on your own? Is it generating enough money not only to pay the expenses, but if you're going to incur debt, which is the third thing that I want to talk about, you need to try to purchase properties that are going to service the debt. Right. So using that example from that a couple minutes ago, $500,000, most banks are going to require you to at least put 20% and sometimes 25% down. So if you use that example, that means that I am actually going to be financing $400,000 on probably a 15 or 20 year mortgage. I'm not going to do a lot of the math. We'll do that in subsequent episodes. I'll be here for, you know, at least 52 weeks with Mr. Producer. So we'll be able to break some of this math down. But $400,000. So I need to be able to service the monthly debt on that plus get my return, right? So if I use the example I talked about earlier, $100,000 revenue minus $50,000 in expenses means that my net operating income is $50,000. That is before debt. And then I have to subtract whatever my yearly debt or monthly debt would be. And then that number after debt is what I'm actually taking home. Right. So that number needs to be a positive number. If it's not, you're speculating. Right. Or if it's not, you see something in the financials or where this is located or because it's been mismanaged that you can turn that number into a positive number. Right. So at the end of the day, as I mentioned, I think a couple of podcasts ago, real estate is a financial transaction. It's not an emotional transaction. It's a financial transaction. Whether you're buying a home or buying an investment property or an apartment complex, it's a financial transaction. So guess what? You're going to have to do math. I know that dang math. But I can tell you this, it's only addition, subtraction, multiplication, and division. It's not like, you know, differential equations, right? It's not like that type math. It's just adding and subtracting. So don't worry for those of you. If you can add and subtract, you're going to be good. And divide and multiply, you're going to be good. And if not, there's so many spreadsheets out there that would allow you to do this, then you don't have to worry about it. You just have to plug it in. But I would highly suggest, obviously, since I'm a real estate broker that specializes in this, that you hire someone to do that. So cap rate, that was the final part of that on cap rate. So the other things that you need to consider is that does the property generate enough income for property management? Are you going to be the property manager? Now, I have different clients that feel differently about this. Some clients want to buy a property of 50, 60, 70, 80, 100 units so that it generates enough income not only to pay for itself, but to pay a property manager to have full-time property management. I also have some other clients that say, you know what? No, I really would like to kind of manage it myself, at least initially, so I can get a sense of what's going on, and then maybe I'll turn it over to a property manager. If you want real estate to be a passive investment, and passive is relative, I am of the belief that a real estate can be a what I call a passive active investment. In other words, even if you hire a property management company, then you need to manage the property management company. It's not like set it and forget it. You need to be involved on a monthly, quarterly basis with your property management company to make sure that you are looking at the property. You're driving by your property if it's a property that's in your locale. But that's something that you need to consider, is that what type of owner do I want to be? Do I want to be an owner operator, or do I want to be an owner CEO where I'm managing the property management company? And so property management is something that you definitely want to consider. And then also you want to look at the tenant profile, right? Some of my clients want to tenant profile where incomes are higher, professional jobs, quote unquote, things of that nature. And because of that, they're going to take typically a lesser cap rate, and those properties are going to be more expensive. So in the Houston market, if you buy a multifamily property inside the Loop, Midtown, Montrose, the Heights, now even Third Ward, East Downtown, Edo, you're going to pay more typically for those multifamily properties because of the tenant profile has changed in some of those areas and has stayed consistent in others. Whereas in some of the areas that are more working class from an economic standpoint, you're going to be in the situation where you may be able to garner a higher cap rate, but you're going to be dealing with more of a working class demographic. Both are fine, right? It just depends on what you feel comfortable with as an investment and what you see the the rule of thumb is that if you're dealing with more of a working class area, that those are more cash flow investments. In other words, you might not get as much appreciation, but you'll get a lot of cash flow. And on the flip side of that, if you're dealing with more of a professional environment or professional area, then you might be in a situation where you will be, dealing with more of an equity and cash flow situation. And you can do both. I'm just telling you kind of general rules of thumb. I guess what I'll do is on this, and this is just kind of a primer. We're going to talk about apartment complexes a lot over the next year of me doing this podcast, because again, that's my specialty, and I'll be bringing on guests. But I just kind of want to get some primers out, as those, the number one call I get is, hey, I see you specialize in apartment complex. What are some of the things that I need to be considering as far as that's concerned? And so the last thing I would say is, in the city of Houston, and this may be the same in your locale, because I know I have some folks that are listening from out of state as well, you need to make sure that the apartment complex has a certificate of habitability. A certificate of habitability. What is that? That is basically a measure that Mayor Parker put into place a couple years ago before she left. Now we have Mayor Sylvester Turner, that make sure that the apartment complexes are safe. They were trying to basically get rid of slumlords. And so any property that's 5 units or above is supposed to have a certificate of habitability. What do they do when they when you have a certificate of habitability? What happens? Essentially, the city comes out and they check out the foundation, the structural. They check out your roof. They check out your electrical. They check out your plumb. They check the one of the biggest things, they check all the railings to see if they meet current code. If they do not meet current code, then they will give you a citation and give you X amount of days or X amount of, I think it's 90 days to rectify those situations. Those repairs can be uber expensive. So if you're out there looking for multifamily and you're not aware of that, the seller's not necessarily obligated to tell you that they don't have a certificate of habitability. And so I've seen transactions where there is no certificate of habitability and the seller didn't either know that they needed one or didn't say. The buyer buys it, and then all of a sudden the buyer is stuck with a bill to make some of those repairs. And so in the city of Houston, that certificate is basically good for 2 years, and you actually don't get a certificate. You just basically would get on a list that you are in compliance with the habitability rules. And so you do have to have a certificate of habitability, which is different than, for those of you that may have a little knowledge of this, which is different than the certificate of occupancy, right? My experience with certificate of occupancy has been that some apartment complexes do have them, some of them don't, some of them got them a long time ago, but once you get one, you don't have to keep reapplying for one. Right. But the certificate of habitability is the one that people keep running into and having issues with. And so, again, I kind of jumped around a little bit, but things that you need to be aware of: location, 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 cap rate, the return. Again, real estate is a financial investment. You need to understand the finances. Don't get glossed over or let someone else tell you just, you know, hey, this is the cap rate. What do you think? You know, have them break that down and go through the financials with you. Property management. What type of owner do you want to be? An owner operator, or do you want to be an owner manager that manages the property manager, CEO manager is what I call them. Your tenant profile, right? That goes a little bit along with location, right? Debt service. Does the property not only pay for as expenses? Does it pay the loan that you use to do it? And after that, do you have a profit? And then, of course, being aware of the certificate of habitability. Those are things that you really need to be cognizant of. So, again, this was a primer. So do you want to buy an apartment complex? The question I would hope for you would be yes, eventually. And let me also say this, and I'll end with this. It's possible. Right. It is truly possible. I've seen people who didn't think that they have the capabilities of buying a multifamily property buy a multifamily property. Might you have to start out with a duplex or a triplex or a fourplex to start off with? That's fine. Right. It's still multiple. And I guess the question should, and I'll definitely end with this. Why would I want to buy an apartment complex? The reason is if you have 10 houses, let's just say you've been blessed to own 10 rental properties. Those are 10 different addresses that you have to go worry about the plumbing, the AC, the roof. And if you're blessed to have them all in the same neighborhood, that's great. But most people don't. Most people, they're in different places. They might be three in one area, two in another, one in the area, and they're all over. In this case, I'll use Houston as an example. But if you have a 10-unit apartment complex, all your blessings and all your curses are in one location, right? So if you are servicing that, you can service it at one location, and you're able to affect. And then I'll also say is that really, and I teach community development at Prairie View A&M University in the master's program. When we talk about community development, one of the great things about small apartment complexes is that you really can create a sense of community. You can actually have an effect on people's lives and provide programs or provide resources to them. So I'll end on a heart note that's one of the things that you can do in a small apartment complex. And in Houston specifically, but nationwide on a macro level, affordable rental housing is still an issue, significant issue, right? People are getting put out because now rents inside the Loop, for instance, in Houston are getting to a point where people can't afford them, even on two bedroom, one bath apartments. So there is an opportunity out there for those of you that might consider purchasing and redeveloping or developing small apartment complexes. I am in the process. I have two lots over in South Park that I purchased a while ago. Finally, I'm getting started. Just got my surveys done. I'm going to try to build two fourplexes on those lots over in South Houston because there's an opportunity out there for affordable rental housing, affordable, nice, safe rental housing. So with that being said, I want to thank you again for listening to me this week as far as buying an apartment complex. I want to thank channel713.com and the Digital Broadcasting Network. Please, please, please let your friends know about this podcast. I hope I'm delivering value to you as far as your 30 minutes or so in time. Please share this with your friends in iTunes and Google Play and Stitcher and all of the various podcast opportunities out there. And for those of you that are on Facebook Live, again, I appreciate you guys tuning in. I've gotten a lot of great comments on the videos. I know my head is halfway cut off on this week's episode, but you know what? The gray and the goatee, I look distinct. So y'all can see my mouth moving. So thanks again, and I'll see you guys next week. Hey, wait, before you go, if you have not subscribed, go ahead and click that subscribe button right now. You see it? Click that subscribe button. With so many options to choose from, it's really, really easy. So if you're on iTunes, Google Play, TuneIn, or whatever podcasting service you use, it's all right with me if you just subscribe. Go ahead and subscribe. And by the way, if you have a friend, tell them to subscribe too. It would be great if I could say the word subscribe. The Real Estate of Life with Kevin Riles.